Hello. Good morning. So we're going to be looking at the spirit of adoption today. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, where this adoption through His Spirit comes into play. And it's one of my hobby horses at the moment, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But Malcolm spoke last week. Who was here last week? Let's get a little... Right, okay, brilliant, great. So if you remember, Malcolm was asked us the question, what is church? What is church? And he very simply, and I think quite profoundly put it, that church is family. That it's just brothers and sisters coming together to live out the gospel, that we're just family mucking in and doing it together. And I love that because I think I can do that. When it gets all really clever, I think, oh, but I can do family. I can do that. But how do we become members of this family? How do we become members of the church? Do we have to go and fill out a tithing form somewhere? Do we get on the electoral roll? Do we go and take a wafer at communion? How do we become members of this family? Well, in this reading in Galatians, this is the same thing that they're grappling with. They're grappling with this same question of who are these people even? Who is this family? Who are the chosen one? Who is the church? And they start to put these little loopholes and hoops in of like, oh, well, if you deal with circumcision in this way, then that's when you become part of the family. Or if you have behavioural ways, if you behave a certain way in public, then you're part of the family. And they're forever grappling with, oh, is it you? Is it me? Who? Trying to work out who the family is. And I love Paul. I love his bluntness. I'm going to take a leaf out of his book for leadership. He says this in chapter 3. This is unfolding. And then he simply goes, you foolish Galatians! Are you under some evil spell? I hope I never have to say that to a PCC one day. You under some evil spell? But I love it because he's just like, oh, come on. It's not about that. What spell are you under? Because you're not under the spell of Jesus. You're not under the yoke of His Spirit. And then he reminds them, come on, Jesus came into the world. And then he says that His Spirit comes into our hearts and we cry out, Abba, Father. That's how we become members of this family, because this family is not a natural one. You don't just naturally get born into it. My mum and dad were Christians. My mum and dad came to church, so I must be in the family. You can't naturally just trip up into the family of God. We're a supernatural family, born of the Holy Spirit. I love it when Jesus speaks to the disciples. He doesn't say, you know, wait there and work really hard at building a church, okay? And put lots of loopholes in so everybody feels restricted about joining. What does he do? He says, wait there because someone is coming. And the disciples wait. And what happens? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples. And Peter gets up and does a stonking good sermon of the gospel. And the church is born. It's not made. It's born. It's birthed of the Spirit. So we too need to be birthed in the Spirit, because we are joining not a natural church, but a Spirit-born church. And I don't know about you, but a supernatural family? Come on. Who needs the Avengers when you can join the church of God? The supernatural church. And we don't have to work our way into it. Jesus has done that for us. We simply need to say, yes, fill me with that Holy Spirit. I want to be a fully fledged member of this family. And for me, the spirit of adoption, this God doing it all for us, birthing us by the Spirit into a supernatural church, is when I read the Bible when I first became a Christian, I could see this adoption at the heart of the gospel, of God coming to get his kids back, of God's coming to bring them, and they're going to live forever in his house, in his kingdom. Mark and I, when we first got together, was in that dating period when you start, like good Christian churches will tell you in the dating period, you should talk about finances and do you want children, don't you want children, and all of that. We kind of talked about it a little bit. We talked more about God because it was all so new to me. And I just said to Mark, when I read this Bible, I just feel this urge in me to go and adopt orphans, to take a child and to give them the experience, practically, physically, what I'm experiencing spiritually. And we wondered, are we meant to go to Zimbabwe, where he's from, and help in an orphanage, go and hug lots of orphans? But God spoke quite clearly to us. He said, why can't your family be an orphanage, Lydia? Why can't you take these kids in and adopt them as your own? So for us, the heart of the gospel, how we respond to the gospel, is one of adoption. We are on the journey of adoption currently. I know people check with me. They check in, what, you're adopting a dog? And I'm like, no, actually a real life human being. So we've started that journey of adoption ourselves. And if I'm honest, the journey is really hard. Me and Mark normally skip into things thinking this would be good. But we've realized it's a really hard process. We've had our lives pierced open. Anybody who's ever spoken to us almost has to write a reference about us. And we've been to training day after training day. And there was this one training day where they give you the gory details and see who's the last man standing, who still wants to do it. And they told us horrific stories of the kind of children we'll be welcoming in to our home. And it all just felt too much, if I'm honest. And I went to the toilet and just sobbed in the coffee break and thought, I can't do this. I'm not enough. Lord, this is really hard. And I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and that's what I did for you. I did the hard stuff so that you could be my child. He did the hard stuff. It was really hard for him, but he did it because he wanted to adopt us and bring us back into his family. So the gospel is not humans adopting humans. No matter how brilliant it is, the gospel is God adopting humans. It's God the Father adopting his children back to him. The psalmist in Psalm 27 put, my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Mark and I hope that our practical, our physical adoption will demonstrate something of the invitation to this child of a true spiritual adoption with their father in heaven. And this psalmist says this, that my mother and father have forsaken me. We are going to forsake our children. We are not going to be enough. We can adopt them and we can give them all the clubs they need and all the skipping around the park and all the love and all the nurture, but it will never be enough because they need the adoption of their father in heaven. This is a promise from God written in the Bible to us. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. He will not leave us in foster care, but he will come for us, and he is adopting us back into his kingdom. Isn't that good news? I'm so glad that it doesn't just stop with us having to adopt, but that it finishes with the adoption of him. Beautiful. So I just want to pick out a few points of what I see in Galatians about what the spirit of adoption does for us. So the first is this. Adoption happens because it's needed. There's adoption because people need adopting. There's no child in foster care because they just didn't like their mum and dad. They're there because they need adopting. They need a place of nurture. They need a place of love. And we too, spiritually, need adopting. And Paul speaks to the Galatians about this in verse 3. He says, we were in slavery under the elemental force, spiritual forces of the world. And then he goes on to say that we might receive adoption. We were in slavery. We were in slavery. Do you know that there's a spiritual battle for your life? There's a spiritual battle going on for your life. The world of slavery, and this is, I see it as the enemy, as Satan, as devil, as the father of darkness, wants to keep us. You're staying here. There's a battle over our lives. And that we have all found ourselves in this place. We are born into this place. There's a battle for you. And Paul reminds the Galatians of this. He's like, come on, you're under the law. You was in this place where you was in the foster care system of the law. But now the Son has come to bring you into a place of adoption where you are now under his grace. You're under his love. You're under his forgiveness. You're under his mercy. So we too need adopting. Anybody who comes to know Jesus can speak of what it was like before and what it's like now. It's when we receive the Spirit in our hearts, we know that we are adopted. One child psychologist we had a training session with, and she said every single human being, not just people in the foster care system, every single human being, and she spoke even from the womb, a child has one question that needs to be answered in their lifetime, and it's this. Am I loved? Am I loved? And we will be born into a family, and that question will be answered as yes, or that question will be answered if you work hard at it, or it'll be no. And we too, our spiritual beings, our hearts are crying out. That little child is in every single one of us that is saying, am I loved? Do you love me? Who loves me? Am I loved? We all have that little child within us, that spirit within us needing to know, are we loved? So the opposite to the spirit of adoption is the orphan spirit. And we can live out, if we're not being adopted spiritually into the Father, into his kingdom, we begin to live as orphans. We begin to live in a way of trying to get that little question answered. Am I loved? Am I loved? So the orphan spirit plays out in many ways. And in many ways, the Galatians are displaying this orphan spirit. The orphan spirit says, nope, let's close it down. Let's keep this to ourselves. It's what the Galatians are doing. Hang on a minute. It's only our people group that get to have the party. It's fear that there won't be enough. There won't be enough of Jesus to go around. It's what the orphan spirit does. The orphan spirit tries to put in earthly hurdles of like, we can do that. You can't. I'm qualified. I'm loved. I'm accepted. It's what the orphan spirit does. And we too can carry that orphan spirit. You could never have been in church and have the orphan spirit. You could have been coming to church for 100 years and you can be carrying that orphan spirit. So what does it look like when this inner question of am I loved is not answered by the Father? The orphan spirit comes into play. And often it plays out in many ways. The more socially acceptable ways is that often someone with the orphan spirit will strive to perform, will strive to do everything around just to get affirmation, to get that little question answered, am I loved? You'll be perfectionism of like, it needs to be all perfect and straight, because if it is, then someone might accept me, someone might love me. The orphan spirit works really hard at validating yourself. The orphan spirit always thinks that, oh, someone else got blessed over there, so God must have run out today, so I'm not going to get blessed. The orphan spirit fears of lack, fears that the father's going to punish them. And then the orphan spirit can turn not to asking the question, am I loved? It can turn to a place where it makes a declaration, where that little orphan child within all of us says, I am not loved. And you start to declare it over your life, I am not loved. I am not loved. And then we start to see other behaviours come in, that the orphan spirit might find itself in a bottom of a bottle, in a pack of tablets, in self-harm, in self-loathing. It's serious stuff. If we don't accept the spirit of adoption from the Father, we fend for ourselves and we just enslave ourselves and trip ourselves over that we will never be free and we'll never know what it is to be loved. But the good news is, if you're walking around with this orphan spirit, is that God sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts to testify with our spirit that we are loved, and that his cross demonstrates this love, and the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts that we know that we know that we know that we are loved. So there's something else that happens in adoption, is they legally have to become your children. So you have to be legally, that there's a legal transaction that happens. So as much as I would like to jump over all the court dates and everything and just rock up at the nearest foster care home and say, who wants to come with me? I can't do that. I will probably be locked away if I just go and take a child. I need legal documentation that this child belongs to us, that we can take this child home. And there's a similar legal transaction that needs to happen when we are spiritually adopted. And it says in verse 4 to 6, Paul reminds them of this. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, because you are his sons. The legal documentation here is not found in a courtroom. It's not found in a social worker. But it's found in the cross. That Jesus came into the world to take upon all of our sins. That he died a death and he rose to new life to bring us into a legal standing as children of God. Blood needed to be shed. And it wasn't by a calf or a bull or a sheep or a sacrifice, but Jesus became that ultimate sacrifice for our sins, that we could become again, be called, come into line, be known as the offspring of our God, of our Father in heaven. The legalities happened on the cross. And Romans says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more should we be saved from God's wrath through him? For whilst we were still enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of the cross. So whilst we were still orphaned, whilst we were still being really naughty, whilst we were still in the thick of our sin, whilst we were still far off, he was creating a way, he was going for it, he was building a legal transaction that he could rightly come into our lives and say, you are mine, do you want to come home with me? Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus can walk into the foster home of our hearts. When we invite him in, he can come in and he holds the legal documentation written in his blood saying, this one belongs to me. And he says to us, daughter, son, do you want to come home with me? Do you want to come home? And if we say yes, he's like, Holy Spirit, go fill that child. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we know that's our Father, and we're going to go home with him. So Jesus comes to us with the legal documentation. He is the legality that needed to happen. And then he sends his Holy Spirit that we know that he is our Father. And I love this word, Abba. Abba. I was on a plane trip once to Israel, and we went with our Israeli pastor. So he booked the flight where it's mainly Israeli people, which was quite fun. And all I heard the whole flight was little children going, Abba, Abba, Abba. And there's something about when you hear it in that context. And the Father says, that's how I want you to address me. I want you to come to me unabandoned, wide open, Abba, Father, which literally means the root word is Daddy. So not Father God. We do need awe, don't get me wrong. Will you love me today, that inner child, am I loved? No. We can come full, filled with his Spirit, and that we can say, Daddy, I'm yours, and you are mine. I know where I belong. And then the last thing I just want to unpick for the spirit of adoption is this, that most of our adoption training is not about the pre-adoption. They don't train us how to get the legal forms. They just say, sign that, do this. Most of our training has been about post-adoption. What do we do when the rubber hits the road? What do we do when this little child comes home who's never experienced a family, a functional family? Well, I hope we're functional. A functional family. What happens? Well, in John 8:35, it says this, that the slave does not remain in the house, but the son and daughter remains forever. And that's what living out, the road, the life of being an adopted son and daughter of God, is that we need to learn how to remain in the house. We need to learn of what it is to be in God's kingdom, of what it is to live at our daddy's house, that things will be done differently here. And we need to learn to walk in that. And part of that is knowing and standing on that we are heirs, that everything that belongs to him belongs to us. Part of our training is this, and we're having to adjust it for our kids already, is this. When they come home, the fridge is always open. They can go, if they're hungry, they can go and make a sandwich. If they want to make a little pat lunch in the middle of the night, let them make a pat lunch. They need to know that everything that is yours is theirs. Scary, isn't it? Nutella sandwiches at midnight. But everything of the house belongs to them. So we need to safeguard our house. We need to get it prepared that everything is safe for them. And everything is going to be nourishment to them. That this is a house where they belong. And everything that is ours is theirs. And it's the same with God. That when he adopts us in, he adopts us into his family. He adopts us into his kingdom, where we've got to learn a new dance. We've got to learn a new family rhythm, where we need to get used to not clutching hold of things because there won't be enough, but where we learn that there's always enough with the Father. He doesn't run out just because your brother got blessed. There won't be enough for me. It never runs out in the kingdom. The Father never gives up on us. He's there. His mercies are new every morning. 1 John 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. He lavishes his love upon us, that we should be called children of God. So part of the spirit of adoption is not just staying in the place of Abba, Father, but taking his hand and saying, I'm going to learn what it is to live in your kingdom. I'm going to learn what it is to live in your house, because we are heirs and there's always enough. And that's hard for anybody who feels like they've come from a place of the orphan spirit. into being adopted by God, it's a daily learning of what it is to be a child of God. It's saying no to the orphan lies and saying yes to the truth of the Father. So I just want to give us a couple of practicalities today to live out as adopted children of God. And the first is this. If you feel like, I get you, Lydia, I know exactly what you mean, I feel like I've been adopted into this family, I know what it feels like to know that God is my Father, that I go to him for everything, I know that there's no lack in him, that if there's any trouble in my life, I know where I go, I know who I go to. If that's you, then I want to set you a challenge today. In James 1:27, it says this: pure religion before God the Father is this: visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Pure religion is simply the external evidence of the inward work of God in our life, that everything we do comes from him. So if you've been adopted, I want to challenge you. What fatherless people can you visit in your life? How can you demonstrate practically the spiritual reality that someone is a child of God and that they can be adopted by him? Not everybody is called to go out and adopt. Not everybody is called to foster. But what can we do to demonstrate this spiritual reality to people? How can you do that? I challenge you with that. To go away and think, what is pure religion to the fatherless God? How can I partake in that? How can I be the good news? How can I point people that Daddy's coming? He's coming and he wants to take you. How can we demonstrate that? And then the other one is that if you feel like you understand the orphan, when I speak of the orphan spirit of like, yeah, I do that. I do rely on myself quite a lot. I constantly look for the affirmation of others, that as soon as I finish, I don't listen for the Father, but I listen for someone. We all do that. I slip into the orphan spirit. I go back to slavery because it's quite comfortable sometimes. So if that's you, I want to encourage us to simply come before the Father today. Because he doesn't leave us as orphans, but he's coming for us. Isn't that wonderful? So I just want to take a moment, and I want to invite Martin up, actually, because I just feel it's right to have a time of ministry.